trust that God is going to give us a special blessing for in the service today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 14 through 18. The Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. And for those, if it's convenient for you, like to stand in reverence to the Word of God as we read these verses this morning. So would you stand with me? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me.' And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." You may be seated. A few Sundays ago now, I began preaching, I preached on the subject, the two faces of God. Used Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 22 as our scripture. And in the first message, we talked about the wrath face of God, because as God looked upon His creation and upon mankind who had become evil and rebellious and sinful, God determined and repented or was sorry that He had made man, and so He determined to destroy everything on the face of the earth. God's wrath face. But then the next message, we talked about the grace face of God, because in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And so we said that God is a God of grace. That is His nature. That is His character. And He desires to reach down and love and save and help all of us to have fellowship with Him. The problem is our sin. And so we need that grace face of God. And as we read through the pages of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, I believe that it is grace that is driving all of God's actions toward us in bringing about salvation, in bringing about a relationship with us so that we can become His children. Today, as we continue our grace journey, we're moving to the New Testament. We're reading from John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. As I considered this sermon this morning and began looking through the New Testament, I discovered that in the four Gospels, the word grace only appears four times here in John chapter 1, and then one time in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. And I wondered, because at the time most of the Gospels were written, the epistles of Paul had been circulated among the churches, and Paul was the apostle of grace, and Paul explained grace so clearly, and he was so adamant that grace was the important, ultimate thing that we need to take hold of. And so why didn't the four Gospels mention God's grace throughout the pages of those Gospels? Why didn't they teach and explain about it? And I think the answer is, as John makes clear in these verses that we've read this morning, that Jesus was the very embodiment of grace. Everywhere He went, everything He said, everything He did was an expression of God's amazing grace. The life of Jesus was a living exegesis of grace to all mankind. So that as we look at the life of Jesus, that we can see what grace is. We can see God's grace actively at work to bring about our salvation, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to continue on our grace journey today and talking about the true face of grace. And you'll have to forgive me, I got caught up in alliteration today in this sermon. So if some of these seem a little puzzling to you, I'll try to explain them. If you just have that puzzled look on your face, I'll try to explain them. I want us to first consider the repository of grace for us. For you see, Peter in 1 Peter 5:10 calls or refers to God as the God of all grace. And so we find grace throughout the pages of the Bible. Great, because God is infinite. There's no limit to God. And there is no limit to all of his attributes. Grace being one of those attributes, so God's grace is infinite. There is enough of God's grace to go around for every living creature on the face of the earth. We see grace in the garden after Adam and Eve had sinned and rebelled against God, and they deserved to die because they had broken God's word and commandment. But God dealt with them in grace. He made animal skins to cover their nakedness, and he provided the atonement, and he gave the first promise of the Savior, the Messiah, there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And so today, grace was in the garden. We've already talked about the grace God extended to Noah and his family and saved us. And there's grace for all men, even as all of the generation of Noah had grace available to them if they would only listen and heed and obey the word of God, because Noah preached to that generation for 120 years and they rebelled and they refused to listen. And today, God's grace is available to all the world. And so we have that wonderful repository of grace. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It's available to anyone who will listen to God's word, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, and receive his wonderful salvation. So next we want to consider the route of grace to us. We find this in verse 14. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we have God, this great repository of grace that is available to all, that God desires to make it available to every human being. But what's the route of grace? How do we get it? How do we obtain this wonderful, marvelous grace of God that can save us, that can save us from our sin, that can cover us and make us children of God and restore us to a place of fellowship?